Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the D2 Sports Show. I am your wonderful host, the coach, Don. And I hope everything has been going well for you out there this week and everything else, as we're going to have a great show as always. And I'm going to have some awesome things lined up for you. The weather has been doing great out here. I can't complain about that. Of course, in another month or so, that heat is going to turn up a little bit, then you're going to start feeling like a piece of bacon in the frying pan. With that, what I have lined up for you today, I'm going to have two awesome interviews. That's right. In the second segment, I'm going to have an interview from a gentleman who's local right here in San Antonio that does play-by-play announcing for baseball at a local college here, UIW. In the third segment, I'm going to have a friend, an old friend from the past that I used to do youth sports coaching and also running basketball and football camps, things in that nature. I'm going to have him come on in the third segment. And then, of course, in the last segment, it's going to be Jackie's new fitness tip of the week. It's going to be awesome, lined up. So with that being said, let's get ready to start. In the first segment, where we're going to go over that famous part of the show, which is the quote of the day. And today's famous quote comes from fast, and I mean lightning fast, Jamaican track star Usain Bolt. He says, "Kill them with success and bury them with a smile." Again, kill them with success and bury them with a smile. And that's from many times over and over Olympic gold medalist track runner Usain Bolt, as he entertained us in the last Olympics. And I believe he's retired now. So what an awesome track star. All right. So let's jump right off into the headlines, as I have some important stuff that I want to cover. First up, on the NBA side of the house, you have injuries that are starting to occur, mainly by the teams who are leading in their respective divisions and almost leading in the conference. So first, the Boston Celtics, Kyrie Irving, he had something in his knee that I never heard of, a twitch or a twig or something snap in his knee. He's possibly going to be out anywhere between a month and 6 weeks. I'm hoping he can get back on the court and make a good playoff appearance, especially if they're going to be going up against either Cleveland or the Toronto Raptors. That will be nice to see. Then on the West Coast, you have Steph Curry, who now re-aggravated his occurring knee injury, and he's going to be out close to about a month here or so. And of course, the coach, Steve Kerr, he's not that worried, because he figured in the first round, they should be able to get through it, whether it be a 4-game or a 5-game or a 6-game series. So they're former champs. There's still a lot of experience on that team, and I don't think it's too much to worry about. Then moving on to the NFL, the Giants are trying to figure out what they should do with Odell Beckham. I can say this, if they make the wrong move, somebody will be willing to sign him in a heartbeat before you even blink an eye. Then also, your Dallas Cowboys right now have signed 2 free agent wide receivers. One, Kevin Edmonds, that was coming from the Los Angeles Chargers, who is a pretty decent move the chains guy. He's probably a third option, somewhere in that nature. Then they signed the receiver who was leading the Jacksonville Jaguars in yards this past year, Allen Hurns, also to a contract. So that's going to be very interesting for the Dallas Cowboys and what they plan on doing this season. And that will just add a little more competition to Dez Bryant, I believe. And then staying on the NFL side, I don't know if you guys have heard this. They're kind of keeping this quiet and then they're kind of letting it out. The Houston Police Department has decided all of a sudden to charge defensive end for the Philadelphia Eagles, Michael Bennett, with an assault or injury to a paraplegic security guard, which this is kind of mysterious here. Now, I'm waiting on more details, but supposedly the story was that during the 2017 Super Bowl, Michael Bennett's brother, Martellus Bennett, who was playing tight end for the New England Patriots, they had just came back in a dramatic win over the Atlanta Falcons. He was trying to get out to the field so he can go and hug his brother. He's happy that his brother won the Super Bowl game. Anyway, during his time trying to get out to the field, the Houston police is claiming that he hurt some paraplegic lady who was serving as security where he was trying to access the field. Now, real quick, I just want y'all to understand this and how bogus this sounds. Michael Bennett is about 6'5", 270 plus pounds, solid muscle. He's a defensive end. If he was literally trying to go after somebody and hurt them, he would have really, really hurt them. You understand what I'm saying? Plus, with all the cameras and stuff that we've been having for the past 10 years or more that is hooked up everywhere. And if you ever been to these big sporting events like Super Bowl, there's security everywhere. I mean, everywhere you turn, they're in the bathrooms, they're in the concession stand, they're in the bag of chips or the soda that you open to eat while you're watching the Super Bowl. So to make a long story short, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that this is just payback because Michael Bennett has been outspoken, and especially this past year when they had a bunch of players taking a knee while the national anthem was played in the beginning of football games. Also, if you remember, Michael Bennett was harassed and falsely arrested by the Las Vegas Police Department going back before the season started last year in 2017. So honestly, I just believe this is payback and they're trying to drum up some false charges on this man. Because as I said, he is a big, huge man. And if he wanted to hurt somebody, it would be more than easy for him to hurt somebody and throw them and sling them around. And I don't think he did this, because if he did, this would have came out a lot sooner than almost a year and a half ago. That's what I have to say. And that's what I'm sticking to right now. So that's all I have for the headlines right now. And I'm going to have to keep the show moving. So with that being said, now I told you I had something very special for you. That's right. It's another interview that I have set up. And this is special because this gentleman here, he does something different. He is in sports announcing and play calling. So without further hesitation, I would like to welcome a gentleman by the name of Rob Shadow to the line. Rob, how are you doing out there?
Hey, Don, it's a beautiful day for baseball. Let's play two.
Uh-oh. Take me out to the ball game. Yes, sir, Rob. Well, hey, man, thank you so much for taking out your busy schedule to come to my show and have a quick interview. So I really appreciate that here at D2 Sports. All right, Rob Shadow. So let's get right to it. So tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, I think the most relevant thing is I've been a San Francisco Giants fan since about 1963. I've been passionate about baseball and other sports, but it took me until 2014 to pursue it seriously. And I was coming up to retirement from being a lawyer and decided that I'd like to try my hand at play-by-play announcing.
Wow, that is awesome. And so how did it go?
Well, it's a rough start. I started in my own living room announcing Giants playoff games while they played on the TV. And it took me a while to realize that you had to be at the ballpark to really experience the whole environment of a baseball game. But I practiced quite a bit on my own. I recorded myself and I took my recordings to a fellow who broadcast for the San Antonio Missions, Mike Sager, a real professional. And he encouraged me. He said, well, it's a little rough, but you've got the passion. And he advised that I hook up with a sports information director at a local college and asked if I could sit in their press box and practice baseball games. And that's what I did during the 2015 college season.
Wow, that is awesome. Talking about opportunity at its best. So, and with that, you know, I know you said baseball was your favorite thing. Now, what's very unique, you said you was a lawyer. What type of law did you practice when you was an attorney?
I mostly did employment discrimination, civil rights defense work for the federal government at the local Department of Justice office.
Wow, that is awesome. Very awesome. And then after that, you say, hey, no more of this. I want to go on and pursue something that you love. And that's what made you go into play calling for baseball.
Yeah, I'd been doing it for 30 years. I had a great career, but I thought 30 years was enough, and I was young enough to still start to do something else. So when I retired, well, actually, before I retired in the fall of 2015, I started doing play-by-play high school football. They do 9, 10, 11 games in the San Antonio area alone on the Texas Sports Radio Network. So if you want to do sports broadcasting in Texas, you need to do football.
Awesome. That is very awesome to hear. In that situation. So, Rob, kind of give the audience in your play-by-play announcing career how you, I guess, prepare for a game, and how is it exciting, or what are some of the great things you get to do when you're a play-by-play announcer?
Well, the best thing is probably calling a game-winning walk-off hit. That's the most exciting, but the thing you have to learn is not to talk too much, and especially if you've got crowd noise and the crowd's going nuts after a game-winning home run, just to let it go and let the crowd speak for itself. Another thing I think I learned to do when the action got really tight in the late innings is to not engage in small talk or jokes or things that are beside the point, but describe the action in minute detail. You know, the pitcher wipes his brow, stares into the sign, stretches at the letters, sets, comes to the plate. So you want to give your listening audience a feel for the moment and a feel for the excitement.
Awesome. That is very awesome. Note to self, Coach Don, shut up. You talk too much. I was just taking a quick note to myself. And so, with that, like when, I guess, like you're saying, when does the enthusiasm come in it on the play-by-play calling?
Well, I think it's natural, and perhaps one thing I have to watch out for is when you watch the same team for a season, you get to know the guys, you get to know the coaches, and it's quite natural, a human emotion, to root for them. I think you realize that most of your listeners are partisans, so it's okay to be excited when they do well, but you need to modulate that. You can't get angry when they make a bad play. You can't gloat when the other team makes a mistake. You need to be accurate and honest, or else you lose your credibility. So I think it's okay to root a little bit for the home team, but you need to keep that under wraps a bit as well.
So maybe somebody needs to explain that to Sean Elliott and the other gentleman that calls the Spurs game. Because sometimes, man, I swear, those guys sound like they're just totally, totally biased sometimes against the other teams.
Yeah, I think a good test is to remind yourself that there might be fans for the other team listening. And that, I think, can inform how you're making your play call. And if the other team makes a great play, you have to tip your hat to them. And if the ball goes right through the wickets for an error, you've got to let the crowd know, the audience know that's what happened.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Very awesome. And so what, explain to the audience now, who are you exactly calling it for, or what level? Is it high school, college, or is it both, or what level are you doing the play announcing for?
Well, in the fall, I call high school football for Texas Sports Radio Network, and Bobby Stotzenberger and Mark Kusenberger gave me an opportunity a couple of years ago. I did Lavernia High School in the fall of 2016, Marion High School last fall, and then in the spring, I do college football, college baseball, and college softball for the University of Incarnate Word, UIW. And right now, we're only broadcasting home games, so I have to cover two teams. And for instance, this week I've got a doubleheader for softball against the University of Kansas tomorrow, and then I have to prepare for a three-game series baseball against Lamar Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So that keeps me on my toes. Then this summer, I'm going up to Madison, Wisconsin, and I'm going to do 72 baseball games in 76 days.
Wow, that is amazing, truly amazing. And so as a play caller or announcer, and like you're saying, you're doing it for the University of Incarnate Word. For some of you that may be outside of San Antonio, that's a local university here that's located close to downtown. Rob, do you ever get to meet some of the players, like the baseball players, the football players in that nature?
Certainly. When the team wins, I always try to get one of the heroes of the game up for a post-game interview. I make it a practice both for the football games and the baseball games to try to have a short pregame interview with both head coaches. Sometimes I'll interview one of the players the day before a game. Some of the coaches really want their teams to focus, so they will not allow players to be interviewed more than or less than 3 hours before game time. So sometimes you'll have to do the interviews the day before. As a general rule, you know, high school kids are younger and you don't want to put too much pressure or put them in the spotlight too much. So I don't generally interview the high school kids, but once they're in college, at the Division I level, I do get to interact with the athletes, and that's a lot of fun.
That is, yeah, it sounds like it, man. I'm about to jump out of my seat right now, but just joking. But no, that is very awesome. And you said that you're doing home games, so I guess in the future, once they have the funding or whatever it takes, you'll be also doing road games in the future for baseball and football for UIW?
Well, that's certainly the hope, Don. And if you and your listeners would like to write a check to UIW, I'm sure we could make that happen. But they're making the tough transition from Division II to Division I. The step up in competition is a huge leap over a big canyon. Mm-hmm. And this year they're fully eligible for NCAA tournament play. They will get to go to the Southland Conference tournament if they finish in the top eight of their conference. So that's the goal right now this year, is to get to the Southland Conference tournament.
Wow, that's awesome. And I don't know if we'll be writing the check, but it's good to get the word out there if there's some type of donation or anything that will help contribute to the local college team. So,
yeah, they're an important part of the community. They do a lot of things in the community, and they have, I think, 600 student athletes out of a student body of 10,500, which is a very high percentage. Mm-hmm. 23 Division I NCAA sports. So they've got fencing, synchronized swimming, women's soccer, men's and women's basketball, men's and women's tennis, golf, baseball, softball, football. So they've got all the big sports covered, and some that you might not think about.
Yeah, that is amazing. Very amazing. So the last thing here I want to ask you is, how do people get in touch with you, Mr. Shadow?
Well, they can reach me. I can give you my email, Robbie Shadow, R-O-B-B-Y, Shadow, S-H-A-D-O-W, @gmail.com. I also have a website, robshadow.com, where I posted some of my work. And they can also listen to me either live, or all our games are archived if they go to the UIW athletic site or KUIW, the internet radio station. They can link up to the broadcast through both of those avenues.
Very awesome. And last thing, is there anything else you would like to share to the audience here, sir?
Well, I just hope people get out and watch sports live, even though I'm usually announcing for folks who can't make the game. There's something about being at a live sporting event to cheer on high school and college athletes, which really adds to the atmosphere. And I think it makes the kids play harder, and they really appreciate the crowd support. And even when the crowds are booing them, the kids get into it. A funny story, at Texas A&M, they're known for having very rowdy fans. And one of the pitchers I talked to, when they issue a walk, the crowd will start yelling ball five to try to get under the skin of the pitcher. And the kids like that. They enjoy that crowd participation. And I think it steps their game up.
Awesome. Very awesome. Well, Mr. Shadow, I'd like to thank you so much for taking time out your busy schedule and joining us here at D2 Sports to give your input on play-by-play announcing. And with that, we're going to give you a great applause going out.
Hey, great being with you, Don. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye. Moving on, I have something very special. A good friend of mine that I've been knowing for over 10 years, and he has also been in the youth sports business. And I know it took a while, but I finally got time to sit down and interview. So welcome to the show. I would like to everybody to introduce Mr. Ruben Rodriguez. Ruben, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine, coach. Everything's good.
Great, great. And again, thank you for taking time out for your busy schedule here for a quick interview. And so without further hesitation, let's get started. So, Rube, do you mind telling the listeners how you got into the sports field and kind of give a little background about yourself and what you're all about, sir?
Sure. Well, I started playing ball as a child, a youth. Mm-hmm. I played a little football. In school, I played a lot of intramural sports with my friends. We all just gathered here in the neighborhood. I have a lot of childhood friends that were all older than I was. So uh-huh. I was kind of the youngest one in the crowd. But that did not deter me from going out there and being with the guys, because that's really what sports is about. You know, if you look at it. Sports is an avenue for social interaction and to be with your peers and to learn and grow together. And that's the way it was with me and my friends. I started in the youth programs field back in 1980.
Wow.
That was my junior year in high school.
Uh-huh.
And I took a job, a temporary job working at Kelly Air Force Base, which was, used to be Kelly Air Force Base. Now it's I don't know what they call it, but it's
Port San Antonio or something like that.
Yeah. There you go. Port San Antonio or something. But, anyway, I started at the youth center at the age of 16. And then when my senior year started, there was a class there called Home Economics Cooperative Education, HECE.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it, and it was a program designed to have students go to school half day and then the second half of the day be released like at 12:30, and I would go to work at the Kelly Youth Center. And then from there, I liked it immediately. And then from there I went over to Brooks Air Force Base, which is on the southeast part of town. Now it's Brook City Base.
Yes.
From 86 to 90. And then from 90 to 98 or so, I came back to Kelly. And then when Kelly closed, I was very fortunate and blessed that the Lackland Youth Program picked me up as the sports director there. And it's been like that ever since. I have not looked back, and I'm getting close to retirement now. And I can't believe the blessings that were bestowed upon me, and especially in the area of seeing kids and their parents throughout the years. There's been times where I'll see adults in you know, different public places, and they'll come up to me and say, "Coach Ruben," and once they tell me their name,
uh-huh.
I immediately remember when they were a kid playing for one of my teams at one of my bases. It's really cool, very rewarding, and I am very definitely blessed to be a part of you know, the lives of these children who are now adults. It's really cool.
That is very awesome. And I can relate to that, what you were saying just a moment ago. I mean, nothing is better. I mean, even if the kid is, you know, whatever they're doing, even if they go in the military, they're working, they got a family, or just whatever career path that they chose, if they remember you because it's something that you did and touched their lives, that is what's so great and rewarding,
yeah.
Just like what you said.
Yes, sir. I have several examples that come to mind. When I was at Kelly, there was this one particular kid, single parent, you know, from a single, you know, his mother was working all day.
Mm-hmm.
So he would come to the youth center, and the mother would sign him up for every sport that came down the pipe, you know,
right.
One right after another.
Uh-huh.
And he would come over to youth center, and like we had vending machines, and the kids would all come in after school. They had money and everything, and they would all go to stack machines, and this particular child, I'll call him Gino.
Mm-hmm.
He never had any money, so I noticed this after a couple of weeks or so. And so after about a couple of weeks, I motioned him over. I said, "Hey, Gino, you know, come on over here." So I said, "Here, here's a dollar. You know, get a soda and some chips." And he really appreciated that. And he played tackle football for us, and he played baseball, basketball. And I would give him pointers, and I would teach him different positioning tactics and fundamentals of whatever sport was coming up. And he was actually one of our better players. He really excelled at football. He was our middle linebacker.
Wow.
And he was a leader on the team. And it was really cool. We went to, during that time, we actually played in Austin and in the surrounding area. It was very, very memorable, good time. So anyway, about 5 years ago, I was at a restaurant, and I was eating, and I, you know how you can feel eyes on you, like,
uh-huh,
you just get that feeling. And so I took kind of turned back, and our eyes met, and he was with two little girls.
Uh-huh.
And so I just turned back, and then I felt it again, and he was actually started getting up out of the table and walking toward me, and he told me, he goes, "Coach Ruben?" And I freaked out. And then I looked at him more closely, and I could see the eyes. And he said, It's me, Gino. Gino, from back at Kelly. And right there when he said that, I was like, wow, all these memories came flooding back to me.
Uh-huh.
Of all the times. And, you know, he was a troubled youth. I would talk to him. I mentored him. I always gave him positive vibes to make him feel good about himself. You know, and I was there for him, you know, supporting him,
right,
and being a role model for him and everything. And he turned to his girls. You know, they were about 6 years old. You know, they were little girls.
Uh-huh.
And he said, "This man here saved me. He saved my life." I remember when I was like 12 or 13 years old, and I was thinking about going and hanging with some bad people, bad friends. But I always remember what Mr. Ruben would tell me, and he was going on like that, and telling me that, telling his girls in front of me that if it would not have been for me, that he probably would have not been where he was today. And that just blew me away, man. So it's like, wow, you know, that is really cool. And you know what? I'll be at the mall, I'll be downtown, I'll have people come up to me and say, "Coach Ruben," you know, and then they'll tell me their stories, or they'll tell me, you know, their experiences, you know, that when coming through our program and everything. And it's always very heartwarming and enlightening to, and very, it feels good inside of my soul knowing that, that they took the time to remember my name and everything like that. That's really cool. And then, so when I get up out of the restaurant to go pay, the lady, you know, at the cash register.
Uh-huh.
She said, Oh no, that gentleman took care of you. You know, you're good." I was like, he had left way before I, you know, and after we said our goodbyes, he took off, and I finished eating. And then when I went to go pay, he told me, "No, he's gone already. You know, you're good. He paid for you."
Wow. That is awesome. Yeah. That is totally awesome, man.
Yeah. That's really cool.
And like I said, sometimes, man, you know, money, gold, silver, platinum, you can't put a price on that.
Yeah, you can't, man. You can't.
Especially when you can influence somebody else's life in that situation and keep them and make them a more productive person in society. That has no value to it.
Yeah. And I look at it this way. I work for kids. I serve children and their families. So I'm always on duty, so to speak, you know?
Right.
I give all my coaches my phone number, my personal contact information.
Right.
And I tell them, hey, if something, comes across, something happens, you're thinking about an idea or something to improve the program, I don't care if it's 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, whatever, call me. We'll talk about it.
Right.
That's my motto. So I'm always on duty for my people. And we also have to give thanks to the unselfish help of volunteers, man.
Yeah.
Volunteers, without them, youth sports programs would cease to exist.
Yes.
And we're talking about, these people, they work long hours. Most of the people in my environment, they're active duty folks. They come in at 7 in the morning and work all day. And, typical, active duty person is just thankful to get through his day and then go home and then, have to deal with his family. And then maybe after all the kids are fed and put to bed and everything.
Right.
We have 30 minutes, at 9:30, 10 o'clock to watch a little bit of sports dinner or something and then go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But these gentle human beings take the time to come and care and share in our Latin youth sports program.
Yes.
And then nowadays things have become so much more regulated, so to speak. Our volunteers have to be fingerprinted, even though most of them have top security clearances.
Yes.
They have to go through a different database and also get background checked on so many other areas in order to to get cleared to coach for our program.
And
that's cool. I understand the logic behind that.
Mm-hmm.
We want to ensure that everybody is on the up and up and qualified, both professionally and in the eyes of the law. And I wouldn't have it any other way. But I'm just really thankful because every sport that comes around, we have at least 20 or 30 volunteers helping out for every sport and. For them to take the time to do this.
Right.
It's a real blessing to me and our program.
Us, and very much so. And I can tell you from a fact, Ruben, and for the listeners out there, that I enjoyed when I used to coach, the flag football, the basketball, and the mm-hmm. basketball camps. I really did enjoy working with you and having fun. And, because of my unfortunate schedule, I want to get back into coaching and doing those things. But because of my work schedule, sometimes it's very unstable. And that's why I kind of ventured into this field. So I can still, even though I'm not there, I can still speak and kind of talk about the things about, coaching styles and different things
and how to treat kids. And make a contribution to the fulfillment of our youth. That's right.
And like I said, I know, we had some great times. I loved it when I was working with you, man. We had some fun and down times, right?
Oh, yeah. I remember specifically when you would coach our flag football program. And I told this to our coaches because what you would teach our kids during flag football, it kind of applies to other sports. Securing the perimeter.
Yes.
I remember when you would always teach the kids, if you're playing corner,
yes,
on a sweep play or in the round play,
yes,
your job is to move up field and turn the play inside. And
yes.
I remember you going through that over and over and over and over again. So that's very applicable to football, of course, but in basketball, it's also applicable, to cover the baseline,
yes,
or to prevent somebody from leaking out, going through the outside on the fast break.
Yep.
It's applicable in soccer.
Yep.
To keep it contained, and that's what I remember you would say. Your job is to contain.
Yep.
And so I actually learned a little bit from you.
Hey, man, we learn from each other. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And so, and like I said, man, I really, really, really appreciate you, you know, taking time. I know you've been busy. I've been busy. And you know how it is. We both work for the government. The government has this idea, just like the private industry, that we can do more with less. And it's not working.
Oh.
It's not working.
Yeah, man, that's the way it is. You know, and you know, things are getting tough all over.
Yes.
And we have to increase productivity.
Yes.
With decreased manpower, you know?
Yes. I mean, my boss, you know, I'm covering the whole, you know, now we have all the way from South Austin to all the way to the border, to Brownsville, to Laredo, all that area. And I'm the only person, you know, and I'm like, hey, something is going to fail here, you know, and you're going to try to blame me for it. But where's the coverage? We used to have four people. Now we're down to one. And that's the reason why these last 3 or 4 years, I haven't been able to volunteer coach anymore. I haven't been able to because a lot of times I'm taking work home. Because I can't get inspection reports done. I can't get stuff done. But I'm going to put an end to that coming here soon. And I will be in touch with you about that.
Great. And, you know, just to make one more point, you know.
Sure.
A lot of people that work, they have no choice. You know, they have to work to provide the means and the financial elements to sustain themselves and their families. It's to me, man, let me tell you, it's a real blessing that I am doing something that I love, man.
That's
you know, I could be making a little bit more money doing something else. I got my degree in business management, sports and business management. I could probably be doing something different.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably will because I'm getting older and you know, carrying water jugs around and 50-pound bags of chalk and stuff like that.
Right.
It's starting to catch up to me. And I will eventually move on.
Mm-hmm.
But it is really cool when you wake up in the morning and you look forward to going to work. I can't imagine how other people who don't like their jobs, they still have to go anyway to provide, a means to sustain themselves and their families.
That's right.
It's like a double whammy for me. You know, I'm getting paid to do something that I truly love, and that's serving our Latin youth and their families in the Latin community.
There you go. And you just hit that right on the head. I mean,
yeah, man,
nothing like that. If you love something, you will just do it naturally.
Yes, sir.
And you won't have any complaints. So, Ruben, I would like to thank you for taking time out. And this was an excellent interview. I know the listeners are going to enjoy this. And thank you so much for coming on to the D2 Sports Show. And is it anything else you want to share with the audience before we go here?
Of course. One last thing. Actually, two last things.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have been, we've worked together for several years back. And you've always displayed the qualities that a youth sport coach has to have. They have to be patient. They have to be caring. They have to be able to coach every kid individually based on that particular child's temperament, experience, and emotional characteristics. And you've always done a fine job with doing that. You've even helped me during our coaches training, you know, to give them your point of view on how to do things as the coach needs to do.
Yes.
And with that said, I really appreciate our relationship over the years, and I can look forward to a continued relationship because you and I have both the same goal to serve our youth and their families in a safe and positive environment.
Yes, sir. I totally agree. And just reach out to me at any time you want me to do that. You know, hopefully I could at least come in and just brief the new coaches or whatever and just kind of just give them an idea. I don't mind doing that at any time, Ruben.
I'll be in touch. And one final note. If you're out there listening and you are active duty, retired military, or Department or defense civilians, I'm always looking for youth sports coaches in soccer, basketball, and baseball. We're a year-round program. And if you have the desire to care and share in the JVSA Latin Youth Program, just give me a call. I'm Ruben Rodriguez. My phone number is 210-671-2388. Or you can email me at ruben.rodriguez.4@us.af.mil.
That's right. And if you can get on base as a retiree or as a veteran or active duty, just go over to the youth center and ask for Mr. Ruben Rodriguez.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
All right.
All right, Ruben. Well, hey, I'm going to give you a great applause going out. And once again, thank you so much for joining me here at D2 Sports. And we will definitely be in touch with you.
Yes, sir.
All right.
To you and your family, Coach. You take care now.
You too. With that being said, moving on, now it's one of our favorite times of the show. It is the Jackie's new fitness tip of the week. What's up, Jackie?
Yay! Hello, it's DJ Jackie Jack coming in with a new health tip for the week. And it's so good to be talking with you today, Coach. And we're so excited about spring finally here. Spring has sprung. And it's time to pick out some sunglasses. So, my new fitness tip of the week is, when selecting sunglasses, choose a pair that filters out 99 to 100% of the UVA and UVB rays. Make sure those lenses are dark enough to block out the light. They should be big enough to shield your eyes. And if you're using them for sports, make sure that they are impact resistant. So that is very important, your eye health, to be protecting your eyes from those harmful UVA and UVB rays. And you don't have to buy expensive sunglasses to get that protection, but it's ideal to make sure that it does have a sticker on it that says 99% to 100% filtering out the UVA and UVB rays. So do you use sunglasses, Coach, when you're outside at practice?
Oh, most definitely. And especially at work also, I have to use sunglasses and the proper. And even when I'm not wearing sunglasses, my clearer safety glasses, they still have like a more yellow tint in it. To still, if I walk outside, it'll block the sun's rays or help block some of the sun rays so my eyes don't get a suntan.
Exactly. It's so important to protect our eyes. And so we want to make sure that we pick out a pair of sunglasses that do just that. Because, you know, the cheaper lenses, they can look dark. But what they'll do is they'll make that pupil dilate.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have that filter on there, they can actually hurt your eyes more than not wearing any sunglasses at all, because then more of the harmful rays are able to get to the eyes when you wear a sunglass lens that doesn't have those filters. So it's better to go with no glasses than a cheap sunglass, because it could be more detrimental to your eye health.
That's right. I got a funny story I'd like to share real fast, and it's going to make people laugh. I remember in the seventh grade, I used to wear regular eye prescription glasses. But I tried to take them off when I was playing sports. And I remember my dad had bought me the gargles that I could have put over the glasses to keep them on. So I was in football practice. And yes, I'm going to go ahead and just let the cat out of the bag. During that time, I had what they call an S curl on my head. So my hair was always wavy, juicy, bouncy, and it had all these chemicals in it. So I remember beginning two a days in practice. A lot of guys know what I'm talking about. It's hot. School had just started. September, one of the hottest months, especially here in Texas. And I took my glasses off so I could barely kind of see, you know, I could see enough to know where to run and how to make a play on the ball. Well, I was playing the running back position in practice and it was so hot. I started sweating. So the curl activator got into my eyes. And right when that happened, the quarterback hiked the ball. So I had to run.
Oh, no.
So I managed to grab the ball as I was running. And I kind of just squint my eyes to try to see if it'll clear out or see if I could see. And I'm like, oh, my eyes are burning. Once I opened my eyes, one of the biggest guys on the team just plowed me into the ground because I couldn't see him coming.
Oh, you poor thing.
And I was like, the activator's in my eyes. It was the activator in my eyes. The coach is like screaming at me, get up, you know, what are you doing? So that was just a funny story when you was talking about protecting the eyes. And
that's right.
Oh, you know, I just want to tell the audience out there, yes, not only protect it from the sun, but also if you wear glasses, whatever, try to see. It may cost some money, but try to beg mom and dad to see if you wear prescription glasses to see if they will tint. You know, when you walk out in the sunlight, your glasses will automatically tint, like almost like sunglasses.
Yeah,
and
you want to make sure, they're impact resistant.
Yeah, and that was the second thing is if you're playing sports, and I'm sure this incident that happened to me, that was like 30 years ago. So technology has got a whole lot better. So you get some get some impact resistance. Normally they will have a Z 87.1, it'll say Z87.1 on the side frame of the glasses. That'll let you know that it's impact resistant. So in other words, it's not going to be easily damaged or broken. If something hits you in the face or you get hit like I did on the football field, you know, it's harder to break those glasses. They're more flexible and bendable in that nature. So just as Jackie has said, make sure, and again, it's Z87.1, which stands for ANSI, the American National Standards Institute. They make glasses that are able to withstand high impact. That
is awesome to know, Coach, and that's right, because mm-hmm. you got to remember, your health is your wealth.
Yes.
So if you're working with kids and you're coaching, you're working with athletes or just weekend warriors, or you're the weekend warrior.
Yeah.
Every day you want to protect, because spring has sprung. I'm so excited. And you know, here comes summer. The swimming pools will be opening soon and we'll be all out of our winter cocoon.
Yep.
So I'm really, really excited. And I want to see everybody out there, especially here in San Antonio where it does get so super hot, make sure that they are selecting the right sunglasses to keep their eyes healthy and safe.
Most definitely. And another thing that I want to put out there is when you, because your eyes, it doesn't take much pressure to damage them. I mean,
right. They're very sensitive.
Yes. And as I tell people at work, being a safety officer, you know, basically somebody can just take their thumb and just with minimal pressure, just kind of just poke your eye and, you know, it's over basically for your eyeball, your eye socket in there. It takes a very little minimal amount of pressure. The other thing is, I want to tell people out there, please, 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 please do not put any compressed air to blow in your face. On your eyes, because that can damage your eye socket. So I know some people sometimes when they're out, as Jackie mentioned, you know, it's springtime, they're doing cleanup. They may be outside. They got the little air tank and they're like, oh, well, I don't want to go inside and wash my face or get the stuff off my face. I'll just take the little air hose or I'll take the lawnmower blower, the leaf blower, and I'll just blow myself down. And I've done that too in the past. But you need to watch your eyes, because any little damage, any little pressure will damage your eyes. I said that backwards. Sorry. But
yeah, protect your eyes.
Yes.
Gosh, that sounds scary.
Yes. So be careful.
Against your face.
Yeah. So people who do like landscaping work, I know I used to do it too. After I cut the yard, I used to take the blower and blow all the grass off of me and try to blow it off my head and stuff like that. Be careful with that, because your eyeballs, I don't think you can replace them, you know, so they are very, very valuable. And one other thing, if, you know, as I said, technology is better, because we didn't have all that eye surgery and stuff like that back then. But if it is feasible for you, you know, if you're playing a sport like football or whatever sport that you're playing, and the gargles or the glasses are a nuisance, hey, if your parents have great insurance or have the money, you may want to look into having an eye surgery. I forgot what they call, LASIK or pre-RK. Yeah. And then maybe, you know, even after you have that surgery, maybe the first year, you still want to wear protective gargles and glasses, because your eyes are very sensitive during that time. But maybe in the future going forward, you know, if it is a nuisance and you don't end up like me, if you want to put a S curl on your hair and you don't want the juices running in your eyes, you can.
Oh, Coach, you are funny.
Oh, yeah. I still remember that hit to that very day. Huh?
Reality is always funnier.
Oh, yeah, man. I still remember him just plowing me into the ground, man.
Bless you.
That was the hardest I ever been hit in my life, because I wasn't expecting it. My eyes were closed.
Bless your heart. Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm so glad you're still in one piece to be here with us today. So that's right. So make sure you protect your eyes and your body.
Yes, that too.
Make sure you can see where you're going. Right. And remember, make sure to pick out glasses that filter out 99-100% of those UVA and UVB rays. Make sure it lists both. And like Coach says, make sure they are impact resistant.
Yes.
Because, yeah, that's the thing. Your health is your wealth, and you want to see where you're going. That should be the hashtag for the day. Look where you're going.
That's right. That's right. You want to always see where you're going. And and again, for the people out there, just again, the high impact resistant glasses, look for, it should have a little stamp on the side frame. It should say Z87.1. So look for that on there. And that means that the
87.1 Z like in zebra?
Yes. Z as in zebra.
Zebra.
Yeah.
Zebra.
And 87.1. And then also the lenses are high impact too. Because those glasses should be able to withstand, like if somebody, they tested it, if somebody shot a nail at you with a nail gun.
Oh my. Okay.
The glasses would protect your eye. From
Detecting him.
So that's pretty strong impact.
That's right. Because self-care is health care. We were talking about that today on my book club meeting. And we were like, yeah, self-care is health care. So take care of yourself out there.
That's right. All right, Jackie. Well, do you have anything else?
That'll be all until next week.
All right. Well, with that being said, that's all that I have. And I want to thank all our listeners out there for tuning in to the D2 Sports Show. And once again, take care of yourself, take care of your family. And next week, same time, same day, same person. Have a great week and enjoy your weekend. I am out of here.